You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Aren't you glad that He's a great big God, that His mercies never fail, never fade, and His grace is all we need? Hallelujah, the grace and mercy of God. I don't think we really understand. I don't think we have any idea the grace and the mercy of God that we have in our life and how important that is. What a valuable part of our life, the grace and mercy of God in our life. Hallelujah. And that everything we do operates out of that grace and mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, at the beginning of the year, I started on a sermon, and I told you it was probably more than a two-part, and then I kind of veered off of it last Sunday because it was our men's Sunday, and we had our sportsman's dinner and our wild beast feast, and I want to say thank you to everybody who helped put that on. What a great time that was. Did you enjoy yourself Sunday night? What a great time that was. Great food, great fellowship, great turnout, and great planning. So thank you to everyone who worked towards that. It's just great being together. Amen. And when food's involved, I mean, how can you not have a good time? Free dinner, free fellowship, entertainment. I mean, you know, what's not to like? Squirrel pot pie. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you know, what's not to like? So rabbit, yeah, venison, turtle. We had all kinds of good things to eat. Amen. Hallelujah. And pie. We had pie. Hallelujah. All kinds of desserts. So I enjoyed myself. I enjoy being together. I mean, fellowship is important. Yes, building relationship is important. Hallelujah. Come, I am a believer in the body of Christ. I am a believer in the church. I am a believer in being faithful to the church and to the house of God. I know there are those out there sometimes today that say, oh, we don't need the church anymore, and we don't need this, or we don't. I'll just tell you this morning, I need the church. I need you guys. I need you as part of my life. And guess what? You need me, whether you know it or not. We need each other. Hallelujah. We need support. We need faith. You know, the scripture says that when rivers come together, hallelujah, that out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. Just imagine what happens when we get together and those rivers are released. Hallelujah. Isaiah said that there'll be streams in the desert. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, fear not, be strong. For if you behold, your God will come with vengeance. He will come. And with a recompense, He will come and save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. For in the wilderness, what shall waters spring out and streams in the desert? Hello, streams. Hello, rivers. Hallelujah. Because inside your belly is a river of living water. And wherever that river flows, it's going to bring life. Hallelujah. When Jesus sat down on the well of the lady from the Samaritan woman, He said, if you'll just ask me, go ahead. Just ask me. If you would ask me for a drink, I'd give you a drink that you'd never thirst again. Hallelujah. I just challenge you this morning. Ask Him. Ask Him for a drink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that you would never thirst again. She said, sir, you don't even have a bucket. And this well is very deep. Hallelujah. I mean, can I tell you, He has a great big bucket this morning. Hallelujah. And the well goes very deep. Hallelujah. But as He began to minister to her, He ministered out of who He was, not who she was. He said, if you ask me, I'll give you a drink of living water that you never thirst again. Hallelujah. And she'd been drinking from the same well for a very long time. As a matter of fact, she was drinking from Jacob's well. I mean, no, Jacob's well will always leave you thirsty. The well of tradition, the well of the deceiver. Jacob was a deceiver, a supplanter, and a conniver. It didn't say Israel's well, it said Jacob's well. Hallelujah. It's a well of tradition, and that well of tradition will always leave you thirsty. It'll always leave you empty, and it'll always leave you coming back for more. Hallelujah. Till you encounter the man who sits on the well and says, if you just ask me, go ahead, just ask me and I'll give you a drink that you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. What a powerful encounter. See, I'm all about an encounter with God. It don't matter how many times you go to church. It doesn't matter how many times you say Hail Marys. It doesn't matter how many times you kneel or sit or stand. But if you don't ever have an encounter with Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're missing out on the greatest experience of life, because there is a well that's springs up. Hallelujah. Out of the inside of you, that you live out of that life inside of you. How many are glad this morning that you can live out of the life inside of you instead of the life outside of you? Solomon said, I tried everything. He said, it was all vanity. And as my dad would say, vexation of spirit. It was vanity and vexation of spirit. Hallelujah. It was all vanity. But how many know Solomon said, I tried it all. I did it all. I bought it all. I planted it all. I sowed it all. But it was all vanity. He said, what I found out is if I remember the days, remember my creator in the days of my youth. Hallelujah. How many know it's all about a personal encounter with Jesus? Hallelujah. Coming to know him as your personal savior, the relationship that you can have. It is genuine, it is valid, and it is life sustaining. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm glad this morning for the power of the Holy Ghost that lives and resides inside of us. We have a very touchable, tangible God. He's not on a planet south of Mars. He's not way out in yonder in the sweet by and by over there. Hallelujah. But he said, I and my Father, we're going to come and we're going to take up our abode in you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he lives and resides inside of us today? We live out of what's inside of us, not what's external. Because if you rely on the external things these days, you're going to get disappointed. Amen. Hallelujah. If we had a few more people out there that were living out of the inside, things out there may not be so bad. Amen. I told you before, we just need some anointed men and women of God in the White House. We need some more anointed men and women of God in places of authority, power. Amen? Hallelujah. Because if we'll live out of the anointing, if we'll live out of the realm of the Spirit, I mean, God will guide our steps. All you got to do is listen. If you ask God, he'll talk to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for godly men and women, hallelujah, who are in those positions. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to go to Matthew chapter 2 this morning again, verse 9 through 12 in the Message Bible, with the thought that I had originally, and I want to develop that a little bit, because I really just feel like the Lord spoke this to me to share at the beginning of the year, and I'm really kind of thinking it over because I've talked a little bit about tithing offerings and things like that, and I want to touch on that again a little bit this morning. And I'm not really one to teach on tithes and offering. I was thinking, I've never really know that I've done too many sermons where I just teach on tithing and offerings. And there's a lot of mixed things out there, and I've had people talk to me about it here lately. And so I just want to share some things that I've been looking at and in our giving. And I don't want to just focus, again, you know, as I said before, I don't want to just focus on bank accounts or in money. Amen? How many people get all nervous when you start talking about money or start talking about bank accounts and things like that? But because sometimes we come across with that concept as being a commandment and a demand of God, and if we don't do this, you know, then there's a curse. And I don't believe in living out of the curse. Can I just say that up front? And I don't tithe because I have to. I tithe because I get to. I am thankful for the blessings of God in my life. And what I want to share with you this morning is a little bit about those who blessed God, but because of the blessings that they have got. See, I believe that God will put blessings. I believe he puts finances. I believe he puts riches and things like that into the hands of people who know how to distribute to the kingdom. Do you believe that today? I believe he puts those things in our hands to be distributors. Hallelujah. And in Matthew 2, go ahead and put that up for me if you would, Carlin, 2, 9 through 12 in the Message Bible. It says, instructed by the king, they set off. Then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. These are the wise men, the scholars from the east, not three measly people who took a long journey on a camel who brought a little box. These were wise men, scholars. History tells us there probably was a huge caravan of people. That's why they got the attention of King Herod to begin with. Yep. But they had come, they had traveled from afar. Hallelujah. They could hardly contain themselves because they had seen the star of the King, the Messiah who was to be born. They had seen his star in the east and they had traveled many miles to come and worship him. And a Message Bible says, and they could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. How many are glad that you're in the right place at the right time? Hallelujah. Verse 11, they entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshiped him. Hallelujah. Then they opened their luggage, love that, and presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It said they come into the presence of the Messiah. They came into the presence of Emmanuel, God with us, and said, and when they did, they were overcome and they fell down and worshiped him, and said, and went, and as part of their worship and as part of their finding what they were looking for, they opened their luggage, they opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gold, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Hallelujah. You know, and I challenged you early on what it would be like if we really came into the house of God with the mindset that I'm coming to bring some treasures to the King. I'm coming to worship him, and I'm going to worship him with my mind, my soul, my spirit, my mouth, my voice, my finances, my abilities, my time, and my talent. Everything that I have, hallelujah, I bring to him. Hallelujah. How many know we present a whole lot of gifts unto God? And I'm not just talking about what we put in the offering plate. I'm talking about the talents that we have, the time that we have, the ability that we have, the things that we can offer. Hallelujah. You know, as we kept baby Georgia last night at our house. We had a Nana and Paul sleepover with baby Georgia. Hallelujah. And we just had a blast. We just laughed and rolled around on the floor and we just had a good old time. But you know, as I was pondering what I was going to share this morning, when I walked into the house of the Lord, I brought that baby with me today and I presented her unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Our gifts are not just, see, we get so caught up in all they want is my money. I'm going to tell you, if that is your mindset, I'm okay if you keep it. I really am. Okay. Because if you don't get this out of a heart, the scripture says that God loveth a cheerful giver. Another translation says he loves a hilarious giver. Hallelujah. If you ever find the place of being a hilarious giver, let me tell you, that's a good place to be in. Yep. Hallelujah. But when my kids were babies, we presented them to the Lord. We dedicated them to the Lord. We offered them to the Lord. Hallelujah. Both of my girls are in worship today. Morgan does worship at her church. Beth does worship in our church. And I thank God for the gifts that he gave me in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. And as we present those gifts to him, can I tell you that God can take those things and multiply them and increase them? Some of you all may be gifted in finance. Some of you may be gifted in worship. Some of you may be gifted in cooking. Some of you may be gifted in building. Some of you may be gifted in a whole lot of different in business and things like that. Offer those talents and those service and those giftings to the Lord, because if you offer those things to the Lord, I mean, no, he can take what little you have and multiply it and increase it and bring something out of nothing. I stand here today before you. I thank God every day at our breakfast table. Thank you, God, for my life. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my family. Thank you for where you brought me, because I'll stand here and tell you right here and right now, it is nothing of our strength, but is everything the power of God in our life. The blessings of the Lord maketh a man rich, and they addeth no sorrow. And being rich has nothing to do with the number on your checkbook. And the older you get, the more you realize that really that doesn't take a whole lot to make us happy. It doesn't take a whole lot to make us secure. But the blessings of the Lord maketh a man rich, and they add no sorrow to it. Hallelujah. And so as I've pondered this portion of scripture, where these wise men, they said they come in as part of their worship. Man, they had found the Messiah. They had traveled. They had read the stars in the heavens for days and years looking for the Messiah, the one who was to come. And man, when they saw the sign that it had happened, that it had appeared, and he was there, and said they searched for him, and when they found him, they realized they were in the right place at the right time. And as part of their worship, they fell down and they worshiped him, and they opened and presented their treasures unto him. Every one of you in this house today are a treasure unto the Lord. You are a treasure to this house. You are a valid, important ministry in this house. And we treasure the fact that you're here. Amen? And you are a giving people, a giving house. And my heart is, we have a great year ahead of us. And I really believe that God wants to do some incredible, amazing things in our midst. And we say that every year, but I believe it every year. I believe God has already done some great things. What my challenge to you is, Lord, what will be my part in what you want to do in this house in the year 2013? What is it that you desire of me? What is it that I can give? What is it that I could open my treasure and say, Lord, here it is. Here is who I am. Here is what I have. What can I do for your glory in this year, in this house, amen, to touch the lives and touch the nations of this world? You're already touching hearts and lives all around the country and all around in other nations. Hallelujah. You're already doing that. And I believe God wants to expand that in even greater and bigger things. Go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 7 for me. Carlin, and that's in the King James. I want to talk a little bit. This is something I personally have been studying on myself. So I'm just kind of sharing with you what the Lord has kind of put into my heart. Because we talk a good bit about, well, you know, tithing was under the law. It was under the Levitical system. And we're not under the law anymore. We're not under the law of Moses. We're not under the curse and all of those kind. And I believe that. Amen. I believe that. But what I need to tell you this morning is tithing was not law, it was covenant. Amen? It was not law, it was covenant. It was part of covenant. Now, covenant is way more binding to me than law. Amen? Do I have any amens in the house? Covenant is way more binding than law. I am legally married to that man back there. Legally married. We got the papers to prove it. But greater than being legally married to him, we are in covenant. See, I legally married him, but covenant keeps me there. There's a difference. Do you understand? There's a difference. Covenant is something that, to me, that even supersedes law. It supersedes something that was a legal document. It's something that's done out of a heart. It's something that's done out of a love, because we are in covenant. In other words, because I love him, I stay there. Amen? Because he loves me, he stays there. I'm waiting on the amen. Hallelujah. There's something different. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so covenant is something that is, to me, is more binding, more powerful. Hallelujah. And I've said this before. You remember when you fell in love, you'd swim the deepest ocean, climb the highest mountain. There was no obstacle too great for you not to, you know, get through so that you could get there to visit. You would drive in a snowstorm that you wouldn't drive in today. You would risk, you know, you would risk doing things. Anybody risk, you know, do some crazy thing? Thank you, Jim. He was in love. He's right there with me. He's egging me on. You do some crazy things when you're in love. We won't tell stories this morning, but you do some crazy things when you're in love. Amen? Hallelujah. And so covenant is more binding than law. Hallelujah. If you ever become a covenant giver, there's a difference. You understand that there's a difference. And what I mean by covenant is, because you so believe in the ministry You so believe in what God is doing. You so believe in the vision of the house. You so believe in the next generation. You so believe in what God has already done in your life and wants to do that you can't help yourself but to give, and you can't help yourself but to sow into what God is doing. Hallelujah. You know, we're not even just sowing into this day in this house, in this church. We're sowing into a next generation. Hallelujah. How many want there to be a place for your kids and your grandkids and your grandkids, grandkids to come where they can hear the word of the Lord, where they can find a place to worship, hallelujah, for the generations to come? What you don't sow into goes away. I mean, no, you don't just wish for harvest. You don't just expect harvest. You got to prepare for it. You got to sow into it. You know, and I got this demonstration before. You know, any gardeners in the house? Come spring, if you're not putting some seed in the ground, you're going to be really disappointed come July and August. Amen. No punishment, no harm, no foul. But if you didn't put it in the ground, it's not going to be there. When I go out about July and I want a fresh ripe tomato off the vine that I didn't plant, I'm going to be disappointed. Amen. I'm going to be disappointed. And I'll be hoping that maybe somebody else would have sowed some seeds somewhere that I can benefit from. You hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Sometime we benefit from somebody else sowing some stuff. Hallelujah. I took a picture at my house the other night and sent it on the phone because I was reaping the benefits of some harvest of some fresh fish that somebody had brought to my house. And I was enjoying that. Somebody had given me a little tithe off of a fishing batch, and I was like, thank you, Jesus, for that. Hallelujah. Somebody had to work for that, and I got the benefits of it. Hallelujah. You can only reap what you sow. Reap the whirlwind. Hallelujah. Pastor Shirley says, but if you sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. How many want to reap life this morning? How many are glad you didn't reap everything you've ever sowed? Hallelujah. A couple going to be honest with me today. Going to be, be real thankful. You didn't reap everything you've ever sowed. Hallelujah. How many know we always look at that in the bad sense? Oh, man, you're going to reap what you sow one of these days. Come on, parents. You probably said it to your kids, or you said it to some. Yeah, you watch them. They're going to reap what they sow. And we say that in a negative context most of the time, but if we really would believe that in the positive, buddy, you're going to reap what you sow. I said before, if we will teach our children these two things to be hard, the value of hard work. Amen. One amen over here. If we'll teach them the value of hard work and we'll teach them to be givers, you will not have to be their supply. You will not have to be their resource. You won't have to keep them because you have taught them some valid standards, some valid things. How many know? People love to tell horror stories. You know, boy, when I was a kid, boy, we had to do this and we had to do that. But now would you have it any other way? Hallelujah. Because what you learned, and there's a valuable lesson to learn in how to be self-sufficient. Hallelujah. At the ending of canning season, when you look in the cellar and all those shelves are full, you're like, come on, winter, we're ready for you. Amen. You got the meat in the freezer, or you got a couple deer in there or something. You know, you got some resources. You're glad, amen, that you put some effort into it. And when the snow's blowing and you can't get to Walmart because everybody's crazy that the snowmageddon's coming, you're all right because you got stuff in the cellar and stuff in the freezer because you made preparation. Hallelujah. You did some things. But in Hebrews 7:1, it talks about, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. How many know Melchizedek blessed Abraham? Now, Melchizedek, it'll tell us here again. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, to whom also, what did Abraham do? Turn around and gave a tenth part of all. Back to, how many know the blessings of God come to us and then we give back? Hallelujah. I don't give to get blessed, but because we're blessed, we give out of the blessings that we have. Amen. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, or king of Jerusalem, which is king of peace. Hallelujah. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. We know who we're talking about here. But made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Hallelujah. How many know the covenant of giving was from Melchizedek and Abraham before the law came? 430 years later, the law came. But Abraham understood the power of giving 430 years before the law was ever even instituted. Hallelujah. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. I mean, no, God gave Abraham victory. Out of the victory, Abraham gave unto God. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. How many know then under the law, they were commanded to give tithes, to take a tithe of the people, even though they were out of the loins of Abraham? Verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes. Hallelujah. I mean, no, there's different in taking tithes or receiving tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Power of an endless life. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Better priesthood, better covenant. For he whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. I mean, no, the tribe of Judah was not part of the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Hallelujah. By the which we draw nigh unto God. Inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. Hallelujah. How many know we're under a greater covenant? We're under a greater covenant. We're under a greater covenant. What the law desired, what Moses' law required and was desired of that. How many know God in the person of Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law of Moses? Hallelujah. And so we see that giving is not law, it's covenant. It's something we do out of covenant. I was reading last night the portion of scripture where the Queen of Sheba comes to see Solomon. And she's heard about all the wisdom of Solomon, and she's heard about all the riches of Solomon, all of those kind of things. And she comes to Solomon. The scripture says she brings him spices and gold and money, and she brings all kinds of gifts to him. And she said, man, the half was not even told of the wisdom. Said every question she had, he answered. All the wisdom that she had heard of, all of his servants were in order. His house was in order. Everything in the house of Solomon was so finely done. And she brought gifts to him. But at the end of that portion of scripture says, and Solomon blessed her, blessed Sheba. Hallelujah. Again, we don't give to get blessed, but because we are blessed, we give. I mean, you know, that's a different mindset most of the time than what we see. David went up to the threshing floor, and Araunah said, "I'll just give you the threshing floor." David said, "I will offer nothing to the Lord that costs me nothing." Hallelujah! How many know it's given out of our heart, out of our love for God? Matthew 6:21 says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be." Also, I read something last night. It says, "While we fight over whether tithing is under the law or new covenant, Muslims pour millions into their false religion and is the second fastest growing religion in the world. If you want to stop that growth, outgive them." Kind of gets your attention, doesn't it? While we're still fighting over whether we should do it or not or what we should do, they're pouring into what they believe in, and it's the fastest growing religion. Hallelujah. Under New Covenant, you don't have to tithe, you get to tithe. Freely you have received, freely give. And Luke 21, verse 2 through 4, if you bring that up for me, Carlin. We say, well, you know, it's Old Covenant, you know, we're not under that. Hallelujah. And please don't think I'm putting you under the law or under the... I want you to give out of whatever your heart is to give. And I really don't know what you give. So if you think I've known the budget and, you know, this is all, it really has nothing to do with that. It's really what the Lord has put on my heart to challenge us, just, you know, in what it means. People say to me, well, I don't understand it. I don't know what that means. And so it's just my heart to share that with you. It's between you and God what you want to give. Amen. How blessed you want to be. Amen. How much do you want to sow? How blessed do you want to be? Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Amen. Amen. God won't be in debt to any man. You can't outgive him. I believe that. Amen.
But I believe if you sow into the kingdom.
Sow into good ground. The kingdom of God. Amen.
Into some place that's reproducing something. You can't help but be blessed.
Amen.
You can't help. I mean, it just comes back to you. There's no way that you can outgive God. Because I found out a long time ago.
You can't outgive God.
You can't outgive it. And the thing of it is, in the last year, I've probably been blessed more than I've ever been blessed in my life.
Yes, he does.
You know, and I found out that he's a God that's faithful. You know, I thought about the scripture when he was talking about the man with the talents. I thought about that scripture, and the one man buried his. We can hide what we have. We can hide our treasure. We can hide our gifts. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about everything that God has put within us. We can hide it, but one day he's going to call for it. One day he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Where did you sow your seed? Where did you plant? We're going to have to give account of that.
Amen.
And I believe we need to sow into good soil.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you, when you do, I thought about Dad's place he had at the river with his camper. He always bragged about his pan-sized tomatoes and his bushel basket cabbage and his cabbage was that big.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you something. That land produced something. And it's a picture to me of when you sow into good ground, you're going to get something back out of it. And the vegetables there were just as sweet and good and delicious because it was good
Praise
ground,
God.
Good soil. And I think when you get in the presence of God and you allow God to use you and use your talents, whatever it is, it may be praying, it may be giving somebody a hug, it may be sending somebody a card, whatever that gifting is in you, if you don't withhold it, I guarantee you, you will be blessed. I guarantee you.
If you don't withhold it, I guarantee you, God will increase it. Amen? Amen. So it's an opportunity of increase in your life. That's the purpose, you know, and out of the abundance, as Pastor Shirley said, and the talents that God has given us. What a talented house this is, and the talents and the abilities that are in this house. Hallelujah. In Luke 21, 2, 3, 4, it says, "And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her need or her want hath cast in all the living that she had." Hallelujah. So when we want to say it's old covenant, it's not old covenant, that's New Testament. Amen. That she cast in all that she had. Hallelujah. In Malachi, the scripture that Lynn shared with us at the beginning of the year and that we've shared it again, it talks about, the scripture says there, he said, "Try me and see." Go ahead and just give it a try. And that's my challenge to you. Just give it a try. You just talk to God what God puts on your heart and give it a try. Try God and see if he doesn't pour you out a blessing. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of things there. It says, he said, "I'll give you, you live under an open, five distinct blessings in Malachi, forgiven." He said, "I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing." And we think about, he'll just open heaven and just pour out a blessing. Well, it does happen sometimes that way. But it may be what he's saying is, "I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out as a blessing. I'll pour you out as the blessing, that you're the blessing that God wants to pour out on his people." Hallelujah. Number two thing is perpetual blessing. The blessing doesn't just come for you. It comes for your generations. How many can say your generations are blessed today above and beyond where you started? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That they start out ahead of where we started.
Yes.
Amen. He said, "I'll rebuke their devourer for you. I'll give you fertile ground, and I'll have, and you will produce unhindered fruit." If those things were under the law, how much greater under new covenant? How much greater under our relationship with God? Hallelujah! Can we live in those things? I want to go to Matthew. Nope, I want to go to Luke. Luke 5, 1 through 11. Go to that one for me, and I'm not going to go with everything that I have here. But in Luke chapter 5, go to that one. I think that's what I want, Carlin. 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 8 says, "He who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, and God loves a cheerful giver." Hallelujah. A hilarious giver. That's why I said to you the other Sunday, I get such a kick out of watching these kids come up here and put money in the offering. They just enjoy taking your money and putting it in the pan. Amen. They just laugh and bring it up here, and every now and then there'll be a mom or dad, somebody have to come up and empty their pockets out because some of it goes in the pockets, you know, instead of going in the pan. But hallelujah. And that money goes for missions and to help missions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me just say this. I don't think just our pennies should go to missions.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. They're going doing the work that most of us are glad we don't have to.
Yes.
Amen. Some are called to go and do the work. Some are called to finance it. Hallelujah. Luke 5. 1 through 11. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, last week I talked to you about the ultimate man cave. This week I'm going to talk to you about the fishing trip. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." So let's just think for a moment. The disciples are back in on the shore. They're already cleaning up the nets. They're already putting away the tackle, the bait, the fishing poles. They're done, okay? But Jesus says to one of them, launch out and go out a little bit. And he began to sit down and teach them. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Get ready for a big fish. Get ready. Let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Simon looks at him and says, okay, Lord, we have fished all night long and we caught nothing. We're putting away the nets. We're washing the nets. Whatever we have done, it hasn't worked. There is no fish. We caught nothing. Anybody ever been there, done that? You know, all right, one or two of you been there, done that. You fished all night and you caught no fishes out on the deep blue sea. Hallelujah. But isn't that how we do, if we're not careful, we live our life out of, man, I have worked and toiled and sweated and I've worked and toiled and sweated until we, you know, we think, well, we've just worked so hard and toiled. And what happens? We find out that our toil and our works and our sweat and our labor really don't produce anything. How many are glad that the gospel is not about your works? What you can produce, what you can do, what your own strength can make happen. So I've been there, I've done that, Lord. I tried it and it hasn't worked. Nevertheless, at your command, I will go out into the deep and I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes that their net break. That's a successful fishing day. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And Simon, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Another one says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, we have toiled all the night. We have cast out the nets. We have changed the bait. We went to all the right fishing spots. We've done everything we know to do in our own power to make things work. Whether it's in the realm of our jobs or finances or whatever it is, Lord, we have done everything that we know to do, and it hasn't produced anything. But at the sound of your voice, Lord, as I respond to your voice, I'm going to launch out into the deep. And as I do, how many know when Peter responded to the voice of the Lord? How many know there's a difference in doing what you know to do and just being believing God and say, God, I'm just going to respond in faith to your word. I'm just going to do what you ask me to do. And in faith, believing, he cast the nets, the scripture said, and he had such a great draught of fish, or such a great net of fish, that he could not contain them all. And guess what he had to do? Had to summon the other boat and say, guys, somebody come help me, because I got more fish here than I can handle. Now, that's a pretty successful fishing day when you got to call somebody to come help you drag the fish in. Hallelujah. I watched Duck Dynasty the other night. After reading to y'all and everybody tell me about Duck Dynasty, they were frogging. Now, when I was a little girl, we frogged. We went gigging, but we used a gig. They were catching them with their hands till the snake fell in the boat, and then they all went out of the boat. And I mean, no, they had quite a catch of frogs in the bucket. But they didn't have too many that they had to summon another boat to come help them out. Hallelujah. What I want to say to you this morning is, if you'll trust God to be your provision, if you will trust God to be your provision, I stand here before you today and say, absolutely, by the power of God, he is my provider. He is my provider. Because we know the economy is unstable. We know you can't depend on anything. How many know you can't depend on anything but God? Hallelujah. And so I'm so thankful for God's provision in my life. But I'm going to tell you what he said to Peter. He said, I want you to go a little deeper. Step out of your comfort zone, Peter. Go into a place that you may not have gone before. Launch out into the deep. And when you do, cast your net. But prepare your heart for a great bounty. Prepare your heart for a great draught. Prepare yourself to bring in the bounty that is provided for you at just the obedience to his voice. And so when they let down the nets were so full of fish that they could not handle it all, and they had to share it with their neighbors. How many know that's the way God does blessing? He lavishes his love on us. He lavishes his blessings on us. He pours his life into us. Hallelujah. And we can sit here and say, oh, you know, I don't know that I've been blessed, or I don't know that God's... Let me tell you what. If you think God has not blessed you, it has not met your need, I can take you to some places and you'd say, man, we got it really good. Amen. About the time you think you want to do, oh, pity me, you turn around and find out that somebody say, man, I wish I could be where you are. I wish I could be like you. I wish, amen, hallelujah. We can lift our hands and say, God, I am so thankful today. Hallelujah for the hand of God in our life, for the provision of God in our life. And I'm going to tell you, it's only because we respond to his voice and said, Lord, I don't know how to do this on my own, because I've toiled all the night. I tried to make it happen in my own strength and it didn't happen, but I'm going to just throw caution to the wind. I'm just going to trust you, God, and I'm going to believe you to bring in the increase and the bounty. And said they had so much, they had to share it with the neighbor beside of them. Hallelujah. Bring your boat and share in the harvest. Hallelujah. See, that's how God does. He doesn't just bless you for you. He blesses you that you can bless somebody else. Hallelujah. How great it is to have the ability to bless somebody else. How great it is. And I told you before, the scripture says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessing to be able to be the giver out, the pourer out, than it is to be the one to have to be in the position of receiving. Oh, we've all been there. Amen. We've all been in the position of receiving, and thank God for somebody that was able to share or bless us. But how great it is when you come to the place and said, let me be the giver. Let me be the one to pour out the blessing. Let me be the one, hallelujah, to share the bounty that God has blessed us with. We are such a blessed people today. Amen. Hallelujah. We are such a blessed people. Some of these things are just foundational things, you know, and I wanted, like I said, I want to touch on a few foundational things, I believe, in the first part of this year, because I believe that's what God has shared in my heart to do. Here's what I just want to do. I want to challenge you. Just listen to his voice. Just listen to his voice. And if he says to you, launch out a little bit into the deep. Hallelujah. But prepare yourself for bounty. Hallelujah. Listen to that voice. Amen. Allow God to direct you in every area of your life. In every area of your life, say, God, I need your direction. I need your provision. Hallelujah. Because as I respond to your voice, I know that you will respond back to my need. Amen. As we respond to the direction of the Lord in our life, God meets our needs. And God is such a provision to us. God is such a lavish God. He said, we can have it more abundantly. More abundantly means more than enough. Yeah. Hallelujah. Not just getting by on just enough, but having more than enough. Amen. Don't you love him today? Hallelujah. Don't you love him today? Search your heart. Say, Lord, what talents, what treasures do I have? And what is it that you would desire of me today, in this coming week, in this year, in this house, God? What is your desire for me? What are the talents and the giftings that I have, Lord, that I can bestow on you, that I can fall down as part of my worship and say, and they opened their luggage and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't a little small offering, because it was enough to fund their trip into Egypt. Hallelujah, to flee from Herod. And You've heard Brother Lynn say, and to finance a staff of 12 men when Jesus was in full-time ministry. Hallelujah. How many know he didn't want for anything? He knew the supplier. How many of you know the supplier today? Hallelujah. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. As Pastor Shirley said, you can't outgive God. You can't outdo God. You can't outrun God. Hallelujah. But his faithfulness to us is faithful to all generations. Hallelujah. I give him honor today in this house. I honor you, hallelujah, for your heart. I honor you for your giving. I honor for the people who did invest the time that is invested in this house. I honor you today for what God is doing in this house, in this people. And I, for one, am just excited what God wants to do in this next coming year. Amen? Are you excited? Are you anticipating something for God to move above and beyond anything that we've ever seen? Hallelujah. As we respond to the voice of God and say, Lord, at your voice, at the sound of your voice, I'm just going to trust you a little bit deeper. I'm going to launch out into the deep just a little bit farther because there is a bounty of the blessings and provisions of God at our disposal. All we got to do is tap into it. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you excited? It's a great time. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning.